This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. This discussion, I feel like, can be one of the biggest game changers in how we approach Scripture and what we learn from it. So I'm really excited to have the conversation. But before we go any further, let me introduce you to our guest today, Sharon James. Sharon, welcome to the Best Day Ever.
Thank you, Katie. Excited to be here.
I am so excited and for this conversation, so excited to have you. And let me introduce you before we go any further. Sharon James has been encouraging women through ministry for over 25 years. From the time she met Christ as a teenager, she fell in love with God's word and has had a passion to equip women to live fully and free, as it talks about in John chapter 8 and John chapter 10. And for 10 years, Sharon served as vice president of Proverbs 31 Ministries and co-host for their daily radio feature. She is the author of 24 books, including one that we're going to talk more about here in a minute. And she is also the co-founder of Girlfriends in God, a non-denominational ministry that crosses generational, denominational, and racial boundaries to bring the body of Christ together as believers. And I have the blessing of being a writer for Girlfriends in God devotions. Sharon, along with her ministry partners, Mary Sutherland and Gwen Smith, provide daily online devotions read by approximately 500,000 subscribers and turnkey conference packages. Sharon, I mean, even just reading that, like, I'm so excited for you to share just your years of falling in love with God's word and all that you have learned from that. I'm so excited for you to share that with us today. And I mentioned that we're going to talk specifically about one of those 24 books. And is it still 24 or are there more now?
Actually, there's 25 now. The last one that came out was called When You Don't Like Your Story. Mm. And the subtitle was, What If Your Worst Chapters Could Become Your Greatest Victories? So that's number 25.
Oh, that sounds great. We might have to have you for another episode to talk about that one, because that's a really great topic. But the one that we want to talk about today is called, which is also awesome, but it's called Never Less Than, Living Empowered, Esteemed, and Equipped When the World Tells You Otherwise. And so now that title is very intriguing.
The title, Never Less Than, is something we all women struggle with. So
yes.
It may be, if you're listening and the topic sounded a little boring about looking at what culture was like, you know, we can kind of flip that switch there and say, okay, we're really going to talk about how we as women are never less than, regardless of our race, our financial situation, whether it's our past history or, you know, all that. We're going to kind of talk about all that today. So stay with us, because it's not just going to be about looking at the culture as we read the scripture.
And so as it pertains to scripture, yes. So that's kind of the discussion topic, is how understanding the background of what the culture was like in biblical times, how that affects what we can take away from scripture. So that's kind of the broad topic, is like, when scripture was written, when the men who were inspired by God to write scripture, when they were writing it, there was a culture of that day that influenced what they were writing or how they were saying what they said. And so when we approach scripture and we have more of an understanding of the background of that culture, it will impact what we take away. Sharon, talk a little bit more about that, because I know you said you came to Christ as a teenager. So I'm interested to see where this piece of reading the Bible came in, because for me, it wasn't something like early in my walk with Jesus. It was really not something I paid any attention to when I would read the Bible. So what about you?
Oh, it definitely was not a part of my early learning years as a teenager when I was reading scripture. And honestly, I think that is just A-okay, because there's so much to learn about scripture. For, you know, the first 10 years or so, I was just really learning the basics and how to apply the basics. And then as I grew older and mature in my faith, it was pretty a long time before I started going back and studying what the culture that this material was written in. So it wasn't something I did right from the get-go. It was something that came along later. And then as I started reading, and this isn't the only book that I looked back at the culture. I mean, I really have done this with in a lot of the different studies that I've done. Another one that maybe we can touch on today even is when I wrote a book on the Song of Solomon called Love Struck, and it's actually on marriage and sexual intimacy. So I had written this. Actually, I was writing for the first five after Proverbs 31, actually, and they got to Song of Solomon, and the writers were like, oh, I don't think I want to do that. So I did that Song of Solomon for them, and then I started reading the background, what the different symbolism meant, and boy, was that an eye-opener. We're not going to talk about that one so much today, but when I went in to say, what does it mean with a pomegranate? What do they mean when they're talking about a garden? And it just really opened my eyes to what that love song of 8 chapters was about. And the same thing when I went through and, you know, I've read about the women in the Bible. I've read that, you know, since I became a Christian, reading through the New Testament. But then when I went back and learned about what the culture was like at the time, it was like I was reading these stories of Jesus with interaction with women for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Because I was seeing something that when our culture today, we would read Jesus' interaction with women and think, well, what's the big deal? Or sometimes our takeaway from it is not what the main takeaway was for the people at the time. So mm-hmm. it just really opened up a whole new vision of what Jesus was doing with his time here on earth. So we're going to get into some of the specifics of that, but that's kind of the overview. No, Katie, I was not that scholarly when I was a teenager, right. But it grew as I grew and matured, and I got to reading commentaries and learning about in depth what was going on, even, you know, going to the Holy Land and seeing things there, really put what I was reading in the Bible in a whole different light.
Okay. And so you mentioned, so one, you know, you really did give us a couple of examples of how different your takeaways became in these in the Old Testament, reading the book of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. And then in the New Testament, reading about Jesus's interaction with women and how, knowing or studying more about the culture of that time really impacted your takeaway. So we've got some examples there. But then there was one other thing that you said that I do want to touch on before we get deeper into the examples specifically of Jesus and his interactions with women in the New Testament. And you said that when you were reading Jesus and having these interactions with women, your natural kind of application was to look at it through the lens of the culture we live in today. So I want to just speak quickly to that before we get further into looking at it through the lens of the culture of the day when the Bible was written and how we do tend to do that. We tend to read scripture and it's just very natural, I would say. I Sharon, I think you would agree. Yes. It's natural to view what we're reading through the lens of what we're seeing, which is interesting because that's even going to include possibly our experiences. Like we can all live in the same culture, but have different experiences inside that culture and see it differently. So if you'll just speak briefly to one way that we could possibly begin to make a shift between reading the Bible through the lens of our current culture and trying to see it through the lens of the culture that was happening at the time it was written.
Well, I want to say right up front that I don't think there's anything at all wrong with reading scripture and seeing it through the culture of what we're going through right now. That is the beauty of scripture. It tells us that it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And, you know, we can, I don't know about you, Katie, but I've read scripture and I thought, now, Lord, I've read that scripture before, and I know that wasn't in there the last time.
Right? Yes.
When did you put that in there? And that's because the Holy Spirit will quicken is the one that helps us to understand scripture. And at different points in our lives, different parts of scripture are going to jump out us more than others. So absolutely, we can read scripture and it apply to what's going on right now in our lives. And we're reading it through, you know, what we're going through right now. It's just another layer of understanding scripture when you look at what the culture was like. Let me give you an example. You know, from my earliest remembrance, I have heard women talk about the story of Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. Be a Mary, sit at Jesus' feet. Don't be a Martha who's so busy in the kitchen that she's not doing what Mary is doing and worshiping. I mean, have you heard that like a gazillion times?
Yes.
You and all your children that you have running all around all the time. I'm sure you've had people say that to you. Be a Mary, be a Mary. Well, here's something so interesting. When I learned that women during the time of Jesus were not allowed to sit at a rabbi's feet to learn, that story took on a whole new meaning. And when they built Herod's temple, that was the main temple that Herod built. It had different levels in it. The first level was the level of Gentiles. And you go up some steps, there's that level of women or the court of women. Then you go up court of men, go up the court of priests. But the women were on a totally different level than the men. And in the regular synagogue, the women had to sit behind a partition. So they couldn't even be in the same room where the men were, but they certainly were not allowed to sit at a rabbi's feet to learn. And that's how they were typically learned in. The rabbi would teach and you would sit around his feet. So knowing that women were not allowed, first of all, in a room full of men, that was a big no-no. Secondly, they were not allowed to sit at a rabbi's feet to learn. So what was Mary doing? What was Jesus doing? Well, she was breaking all kinds of rules. She was not supposed to be in the room in the first place. That's one thing Martha was mad about. But then she was not supposed to be sitting at Jesus' feet to learn. And so when Jesus says that she's chosen the good part, and I bet you those disciples were just like, what in the world is he doing? Allowing that woman in this room and allowing her to sit here like the rest of us. But see, Jesus was breaking one of the cultural rules to set women free. And he opened that door for Mary and basically opened it for all of us to come and sit at a rabbi's feet, Rabbi Jesus's feet, to learn. So see how that opened up a whole new meaning to that one little snippet of a story that we've heard for all of our Christian lives. It's not just about, yes, let's sit at the feet of Jesus, but it's about what Jesus did by allowing her to do that in a culture that said that they couldn't.
And so you're saying all of that, and I'm recalling the title of the book, Never Less Than. And what's just, you know, pouring into my heart are these ideas of how she was seen, she was noticed, value was placed on her, invitation to come near was extended to her, and it all came from Jesus. And you can imagine the things that the world was telling her that were otherwise. And that, you know, that's living empowered, esteemed, and equipped when the world tells you otherwise. The subtitle for that book, Never Less Than, and it's all starting to come together. So is that a part of the book, Never Less Than?
Right. We look at, actually in the book, I look at every single encounter that Jesus had with a woman in the New Testament. So, and listen, Katie, he broke a rule every single time. Every single time. Let me give you another example. Mary Magdalene, we know a little bit about her story, that she had been possessed by demons. It doesn't tell what those manifestations were with her, but from reading about other people who were possessed by demons, we know it was not pleasant at all. So she was delivered from the demons. Now, it also says that Mary Magdalene was a part of the ministry team. It says that there was Mary Magdalene and some of the women went around with the ministry team providing out of their funds. Well, I don't remember being and seeing pictures of women with Jesus in any of the artwork from, you know, the early Renaissance periods. It was always the men. So that's one thing. But here's an interesting fact about the culture. in their culture, a woman was not allowed to testify in a court of law, and she was seen as unreliable. So never would they step foot to testify about anything. And the two incidences where this happened with Jesus, one was that woman with the issue of blood that we read about, the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and had lost everything, lost her family, her finances, wasn't even supposed to go out in public at all because she was considered to be unclean. Mm-hmm. And when she, we know the story well, but when she reached for Jesus and reached for that healing, and she was healed the moment she touched him, and she felt it, and Jesus knew the power had gone out of him. Did you notice what happens next? He would not let her slip away with her healing. Mm-hmm. In a culture where a woman was not allowed to even speak to a man in public, not allowed to testify in court, he would not let her go until she testified in front of this whole group of people what had happened to her. And what a great story that he I wouldn't say force, but he just wouldn't let her go until she told. Mm-hmm. It says in front of all the people what God had done for her. And then thinking about that same thing about women not being allowed to testify in court or to speak and to men in public like that. Mary Magdalene, she was entrusted with the most important message of all of human history, that Jesus mm-hmm. was alive. And mm-hmm. isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't make himself known to Peter or John when they came to the tomb, waited till they left, but made himself known to Mary Magdalene and then told her to go and tell. Now, listen, Katie, if somebody was making this story up in that culture, they would have never written it that way. They right. would have never written that Jesus told a woman to go and tell. That just makes it even more real if you're a doubter. They wouldn't have done it that way. They would have had Jesus make himself known to men. But yet mm-hmm. he didn't. He waited and made himself known to a woman and then told that woman to go and testify to the disciples about what she had seen. So we read the story of Mary Magdalene. We think it's so cool that, you know, he met her at the tomb and she thought he was a gardener. But see, when you add this other little part of the culture on about women not being allowed to testify, it makes it even more precious and makes me feel more special as a woman that he would do that. Yes. That when the culture says they were unreliable, that Jesus comes along and says, oh no, this woman is reliable, and her mm-hmm. what she's got to say is going to change the world.
Mm-hmm. And it really does flip the script on what the world was telling them at the time. There was a very clear message by the cultural set of rules and standards of what was, you know, a woman was considered to be, what was thought of her. And Jesus just ignored it completely, flipped the script completely. And that's, you know, through what we have recorded in scripture. And so it is such a beautiful thing to see how understanding the culture of the time, it just creates so much more of an understanding of who Jesus is.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, reading it, we still get a sense and a taste and an understanding of who Jesus is. But understanding it through the lens of the culture at the time deepens that understanding. And quite honestly, even just as I'm And a lot of these are things that I have known, and yet just to revisit them, it's just even more of an awe, even more of a pause in my own life to stop. And really my response is, why am I so concerned with what anyone else says, with what the world is telling me, when I understand who Jesus is and what he says about me? And yes. It's just, I can't help but smile. And like you said, you know, it makes me feel so special.
Yes, it does. And, you know, and it's just thinking of your theme, the best day ever. I mean, these women in the New Testament, man, what we have recorded here, that is their best day ever. Yes. It's definitely their best day ever because Jesus showed them how valuable they were regardless of their circumstances. And we can take that same thing and internalize it for ourselves. that if this was this, their best day ever, that it can be my best day ever when Jesus speaks to me. And I want to encourage you with this too, as you're listening, that each one of these women that Jesus spoke to, he spoke to them right in the middle of their busy day. They were not on a mountaintop waiting for revelation from God. They weren't even at a Bible study. The woman at the well was just doing her housework, getting water for her every day. And they were, many of them were just simply going about their busy days. And because of Jesus, it became their best day ever. Mm. Katie, looking at the culture too, one of my favorite stories in scripture in the New Testament is Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. I mean, we could talk for an hour on her, but let me just throw in a few little tidbits about that. That the cult, my eyes were open with extra deeper meaning there. And one is that, and you've probably heard this too, that the whole story begins with Jesus had to go to Samaria. Well, the Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated them. And they would actually cross the river when they were traveling to avoid even going on the land where the Samaritans live, to avoid going to Samaria. But see, God had, this woman was on Jesus's day timer. Do they even call it day timers anymore? Let's say his Google calendar.
There we go.
We'll update that a little bit.
But okay, I know what you mean now.
Yeah, I know. she had an appointment. God had written her name down, and Jesus went to her. And, you know, we read that she had been divorced 5 times and was now living with a man. Well, here's the thing about being divorced 5 times back then, is that back in this culture, women were property. They were property first of their fathers, and then they were property of their husbands. And the man could divorce the woman for anything. She burnt the bread, he could divorce her. Spoke to another man out in public, could divorce her. Could divorce her for anything. So this woman right here, she had been thrown away 5 times. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's not like our culture where there's a woman can divorce, a man can divorce. No, the man threw her out 5 times. Mm-hmm. And so this is what her life is like. And now she's living with man number 6. And Jesus is waiting for her by that well. Listen, he broke so many rules. I often say he was so far out on a limb, it was good he had made the tree. Because the woman first was a Samaritan. He asked for a drink. Jews did not drink from a Samaritan's cup. That was a big no-no. Thirdly, he's talking to a woman, which was a big no-no, that them there privately together. And you know what, Katie? This was the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had with anyone in the New Testament. And it was with a woman. But the most amazing thing is they had this long conversation. And when she says, well, I know the Messiah is going to come one day. And he said, I am he, or actually in the Greek, the original language, he said, I am. That was the first time he told anyone that he was the Messiah. And he told it to this woman who felt so less than that she wouldn't even go and draw her water in the morning or in the evening where the other women went because they thought so poorly of her. She would go in the heat of the day when nobody else was there. This one woman, he told her for the first time that he was the Messiah. Oh, that is so beautiful and gives me so much hope that there is no place that we can go that is so far away from God in our lives. We cannot sink to any place that is too low, that Jesus won't, number one, pursue us like he pursued her, and then tell us the secrets. He met her as the Messiah. And we know the cool thing is she dropped her water pot, went back into town and started evangelizing those Samaritans. And right about that time, the men walked up and I bet they were like, what is he doing talking to this woman? And he starts saying, you know, look at her go, basically. Look at her go. He didn't try to hold her back, didn't try to stop her, knew exactly what she was going to do. And then he starts teaching the disciples about the fruit being ready, the harvest being ready. And he uses her an example of that. And then here come all these townspeople as she goes into town. Think about that, Katie. She ignored the village people. I wouldn't say ignored. Let me say that again. She avoided the village people. because they thought so poorly of her. And after she met Jesus, she didn't care what they thought. She went back in because he had changed her story because this was her best day ever, and started telling them about the Savior, the Messiah. Come and see him. Come and see this man who told me everything I'd ever done. And she became one of the first evangelists, women evangelists in Samaria here during a culture, but that was so unheard of. So which what the culture considered her as less than, Jesus said, oh no, girl, you are empowered, esteemed, and equipped to do exactly what I've called you to do.
And I love how you brought our attention to the difference between her before her encounter with Jesus and after. And what you said is she didn't care what they thought because she had been defined already by Jesus. And she didn't need to care what they thought. It didn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. And wow, these are all such beautiful and powerful examples. And I feel like you're right. We could do a whole episode on every single one of these. But what I love about what you've done is that you've shown us this was not just one time in Scripture. There is over and over and over again, Jesus says something different than the world. And Jesus ignores what the world says or what you may have even believed to be true because of what the world says. And instead, he pursues and he sets free. And just, I just hope that in one of these stories, you have, you've seen maybe some of those things that the world, you feel like the world has been telling you, and you've been able to see that Jesus has something very different to say. Now, I do want to say this before we close, because what you have done, Sharon, is you have shown us how beautifully understanding the culture in the day, in that day and time, can open our eyes to new things in Scripture. So for the woman who is, she has been reading her Bible and she is ready to take the next step, where would she begin if she wanted, as she's reading Scripture now? And what I hope that when you finish listening to this episode, you go look up some of these encounters that Sharon has talked about, some of the other encounters that Jesus has with women in the New Testament, and even Sharon's book, Never Less Than, which we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But you go read it for yourself. I really hope you do that. But yeah, Sharon, let me get back to my question. For the woman who wants to start studying the culture of the day so that she can understand even more about what she is reading in Scripture, where would be a good place for her to start?
A lot of Bibles have very good study notes in them. Also, there's Bible Gateway, and I love BibleHub.com. Mm-hmm. BibleGateway.com, BibleHub.com, and there are several of those online that you can look up the Scripture and then and poke around. Just look at the commentaries. They usually have a list of commentaries on the right-hand side, or there's a link to those commentaries. Those are great. There's an archaeological Bible. I think you probably could read a lot of that online too, that goes back and looks at the history and what the culture was like. Because it's not just his interaction with women that you can learn more from. It's, you know, just all the way throughout, you know, what the different things mean. So those are two great places to start. Lots of books out there on it, you know, as you mentioned with Never Less Than. It also includes a Bible study that goes deeper into what some of these things mean. But that's a great place to start. I think that is one of the things that I looked at as I was writing the book, for sure. But I love reading commentaries. Like I say, I'm such a Bible nerd, but many commentaries. And you can actually, you know, just Google and say commentaries on Bible culture and see what you can come up with.
Those are such great options, and thank you for that. And, you know, BibleGateway.com, BibleHub.com, those are free resources, so you can start today. That doesn't cost you anything. And I do, I love how you kept referring to each one of these women, and kind of when you put yourself in her shoes, whether it was Mary sitting at Jesus's feet or Mary Magdalene the day that Jesus made himself known that he was alive, or the Samaritan woman at the well, and you put yourself in her shoes, and that encounter that she had with Jesus and sharing, like you said, over and over, it was her best day ever. And what I am left with as we close this conversation is this hope and expectancy that the same way those women encountered Jesus in those moments and it changed them and it was their best day ever, that can be how we live every day too, because we get to encounter Jesus every day in his word. So Sharon, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Katie. I'd love to come back.
Me too. We're going to have you back and talk okay. more about it. Super exciting. And I pray that you, just like me, that you have found something and you've heard something in today's episode that helps you go live your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.